Hello, listeners. This is April Hughes, and you are listening to my podcast, The Mindful Teacher. My podcast is a podcast that focuses on mindful techniques for you and your students to help you thrive and be successful in the learning environment. My motto is keeping teachers sane one episode at a time. So I appreciate the fact that you're taking time to tune in. Make sure that you hit subscribe so that you get all the new podcast updates and enjoy the show. Hello, mindful teacher listeners. I am so excited this week to share with you so many tips and tricks on how to take care of yourself and your students to get through till the end of the year. I want to start out by sharing this amazing book that I just got on Amazon by Elena Aguilar, and it's called The Onward Workbook: Daily Activities to Cultivate Your Emotional Resilience and Thrive. And I bought the book on Amazon for about $20. I will post the information in the podcast link, so look for that. But it's really like the most amazing book that I've purchased in a really long time. So I'm going to refer to it today, and if you like what you hear, I really encourage you to invest in this book. It's totally amazing. I wish I would have written it myself. So, chapter 6 is dedicated to take care of yourself. And I know at this point in the school year, and I talked a little bit about this last week on my podcast, it's like teachers are really kind of fed up. I mean, student behavior increases and our patience decreases. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. I mean, really, how many times are you going to tell the same kid to raise his or her hand before they completely blurt out? Or how many times are you going to remind students about classroom expectations and rules? So spring break is approaching, which is a mini reset for many teachers, but really the most difficult times are coming up with standardized testing, whether you do PARC or something else in your state, and then trying to manage classroom behavior until the end of the school year is really a struggle for even the most veteran teachers. So if you feel really depleted right now, you're not alone. I guarantee 99% of us are all feeling depleted. And I'm using my meditation, I'm using my journaling, I'm using my yoga practice to help me get through it. And I'm still feeling really, really on empty here. So I'm going to talk about first taking care of yourself, and then I'm going to talk about some tips and tricks to help you help your students with test anxiety for PARC or whatever standardized assessment you do in your state. So I'm here in Colorado. We switched from PARC to CMAS. It's essentially the same thing, but they've renamed it, and it gives the state a little bit more control over certain things. So that might be happening in your state, but the bottom line is it's like the PARC test. It's all the same. So in this wonderful book, chapter 6 says, physical self-care and well-being are foundational for many other habits. When your body is cared for, you're better able to deal with emotions. Resilient people have a healthy self-perception, are committed to taking care of themselves, and accept themselves more or less as they are. So my big kind of beef with a lot of teachers, and I don't know if beef is the right word, but you know, I hear a lot of teachers that complain about how they feel, or they're feeling depleted, or they're not feeling, great, or, they need to go to more therapy, or they need a new antidepressant, and, whatever. I'm not judging anybody, but what I'm saying here is that when I ask them, what are you doing to take care of yourself? That's my first go-to question. And they're like, well, I don't have time to go to yoga, or I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to meal prep so that I'm eating healthy. I don't have time for that. Well, the bottom line is, if you don't take time to take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. And I talked about this in my last podcast about if you're on a plane and it's going down, if you don't put the oxygen mask on yourself first, you can't help anyone else. So everybody feels right now at the brink of, are we going to make it to spring break? And then after we get back from spring break, it'll be like, are we going to make it to, the end of the school year? And it's a very similar feeling we get around the end of November, beginning of December. It's, cyclical is the way that the teacher's emotions are. So I really love this book because it gives you a take care of yourself, resilient self-assessment. And it gives you statements, and you can put in dates, or you can make copies. This would be like an awesome book to do, like with a group of coworkers that are dedicated to really taking care of themselves and building their emotional resilience and thriving in this hectic teaching world that we're in. And the great part about it is it's just for teachers. I can't tell you again how much I saw this book and a coworker had it. And the next thing I know, I was on Amazon ordering it. I was just like, I've got to have this. So she recommends in here, Aguilar does, about, taking this resilient self-assessment. So talks about like, I understand how my physical well-being affects my emotional well-being. The I can, or the objectives that we put up that we want our students to know. And then she talks about listening to your body, which is, basically a mini meditation, which I've talked about, in several of my podcasts. And then she really goes on to sleep, and she talks about dreaming and how sleep can impact how you feel on a daily basis. And I really think that her 7 interventions, which I'm going to talk about today, that she talks about when you are in self-care crisis. So in order to determine whether or not you're in self-care crisis, I think you need to identify how well you're doing with taking care of yourself. Usually I talk about in the podcast being mindful about yourself, being mindful with your students. I cannot emphasize enough that in my 18 plus years of teaching, every year it gets just a little bit more difficult for different reasons. And we can debate those until we're blue in the face. But the bottom line is, if we're going to make it to our 30 plus years to retire, we collectively being teachers, we need to develop some new strategies to go along with the new challenges that we're constantly facing in the classroom. And if we're not doing that, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it as a profession, and we're not going to make it to retirement. At least we're not going to do it with integrity, because we're going to be burned out. So she says on page 317, do you feel as though you're falling apart and can't figure out how to return to the classroom or office tomorrow? Here's an intervention plan that has pulled many educators back from the edge. You'll need to do some of these things every day for a week in order to feel better. Then, once you're out of crisis mode, you can make a self-care improvement plan. So I feel like, you know, every teacher has felt like this, and it usually results in taking a quote-unquote mental health day and kind of rejuvenating for one day. But I like this because it really gives step-by-step on how we can handle ourselves when we're in this crisis mode, and then what we can do so that we don't get to that crisis mode again. And I will say, leading up to spring break and in the months of April and May, I feel like crisis mode can be almost every day. That's just reality. So this is what she says. She says, sleep. Even if you won't be fully ready for tomorrow or your emails go unanswered, go to sleep. Aim to sleep for 30 minutes longer tonight than your average on the past three nights. 2, ask for help. Say, I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm not sure what to do, but I know I need to make some changes to the way I'm caring for myself. Could you help me figure this out? And then make a couple of specific requests, such as, could you take care of the kids so I can go to bed early? Could you make me lunch tomorrow? Please call my doctor and get me an appointment as soon as possible. So if you're looking at your life partner or your husband or your wife, or if you're single, then and you don't have a life partner, then maybe asking a parent, trusted friend, a sibling that can maybe help you do something, or ask a coworker to help you do something at school that's going to make your life easier. I know that when I've been asked to help a coworker, I've never said no, but teachers are often very stubborn, and they don't want to ask for help because it's seen as a weakness. So a lot of times we don't want to ask our coworkers or our principal or our assistant principal to help because we think that shows a sign of weakness. But in reality, it shows a sign of strength because you're tuned in and you know what you need for yourself. Offer yourself the advice you give your best friend if you saw him or her in the state you are in. What would you tell your best friend to do? And then heed that advice. Take a 1 minute break every hour and do this. Sit down, close your eyes, and visualize the tension and stress in your body pouring out of your hands. Take slow, deep breaths. Visualize your feet as portals to rejuvenating energy. And imagine energy surging up through your body from your feet. Take a daily 20-minute walk outside, ideally in the sun. Take one next step each day to initiate bigger change. Make a doctor's appointment, buy vitamins, sign up for an exercise class. Make a plan with a friend to go hiking. Stock your refrigerator with nutrient-dense food. Download podcasts about healthy living. Listen to my podcast. That's what I would say. And then she also indicates in her book, she has 65 ways to care for yourself. So she has a lot of ideas in here. But I am really all about the practice of meditation and breathing and yoga as a part of my lifestyle to help me with my self-care. And again, if those do not speak to you or they do not work for you, you can try these other strategies that I will probably go over in my next podcast. But one thing that I really want to talk about also today is how to help our students when they suffer from test anxiety. So test anxiety is a real thing. I had it in high school. I had it in college. It seemed like every time I would have to take a big test, I would just blank out. And, you know, I'm 40, so back when I was in college to get my undergrad, no one talked about test anxiety. It was just like, I'm nervous. Yeah, I feel sick, like I'm going to throw up. but nobody really had a name for it. It wasn't like a real thing, but it is a real thing. And there's an actual chemical reaction, that fight or flight that goes on in your body that happens to make you feel that way. And it's really important that we help our students get through that anxiety so that they can focus on the standardized test and that they can be successful. Okay, so let's talk about strategies and tips to help our students with test anxiety for the upcoming standardized PARC test assessment. As you know, students can't talk during the test. So what I practice with my students before they take any test, but especially before we take this huge PARC assessment, is that I tell them to work on their breathing, and this will not only help you, but it will help them as well. So it's really important that when you're feeling stressed out or you're feeling anxiety, that you stop and do some deep breathing. That will automatically stop that reaction that's happening in your brain. So what I tell my students is that they inhale for the count of five, hold it for the count of five, and then exhale it for the count of seven. And I talked about this last week in my podcast, and you can even start with just three, like I counted out. Inhale, one, two, three. Hold, one, two, three, four. Exhale, one, two, three, four, five. And I have them increase that by one in a cycle of three. And that seems to calm their brains down. And then the other thing I tell them, that they can do that before the test, during the test. And I also tell them that if they don't have like a stress ball or something like that, they can always go through the activity where they squeeze the different parts of their body. So I always have them either start with their feet or start with their face. But if they start usually with their feet, I'll have them curl their toes under, squish their feet and their shoes, and then have them relax. And then I'll have them tighten their thighs or their legs, and then I have them relax. And then I have them do it with their torso, their stomach, and then I have them relax. Then I have them make big bicep muscles, and then I have them relax. Then I have them squeeze their hands very tightly, and then I have them relax. And then I have them shrug their shoulders all the way up to their ears, shrug, relax, and then scrunch their face in really tight, and then relax. So the reason that students that have ADD or ADHD use fidgets or like a ball to squish is because it releases tension. But these kind of activities can be done without the distraction of one of those fidget balls or a fidget spinner. So those can be done, and they're done quietly. So students can do this during the test when they're starting to feel anxiety or they really feel like they need a break. I know that in the PARC this year, they're allowing students to take like quiet stand-up breaks as long as they don't make noise. Might be different in your state, I'm not sure. But encouraging students to use these completely silent stress relief and the breathing, those do not take any, you know, they don't take any fidget spinners, they don't take any devices, and they don't make any noise. And students can use them for PARC, and they can use them in regular classes when they're feeling like they need a break. I mean, those tests get really long, and if students are not doing something to refocus themselves, then it's really difficult for them to completely stay focused for that amount of time. So I would also encourage your students to, you know, think, maybe picture in their mind. I like to do a visualization activity where I have them visualize a place that they feel happy or they feel relaxed. So some students will say, like, and usually I do this and I'll put like a picture of a beach up that looks really pretty. So if they've never been to the beach before, they can visualize that. Or maybe I live in Colorado, so maybe their happy place is up in the mountains. Or if they haven't been to the mountains, I'll show them different images. I'll show them like a lake. I'll show them the mountains. I'll show them a mountain, the beach, you know, and then I just kind of go through five or six images and I think, which one makes you feel happy and relaxed? And then I tell them to take deep breaths and visualize that place while they take a break in their mind so that they can refocus for the rest of the test. So these are things, again, that you can do yourself when you're starting to feel like you're on the edge of snapping or, you know, getting angry. You can do these things too. Do them with your students. It's really nice. You can even add in some nice music if you'd like. Turn the lights off in your room. Really make it, you know, nice for the students to have quiet time. Because if you think about your day and your students' day, how often do they just get just quiet time? Not very often. And it makes some students really uncomfortable. They don't know how to deal with just silence because their minds are so busy. They're on their phones all the time, or they're thinking about their video games or whatever. They can't calm their minds down. It's one of the negative side effects of this technology society that we have now. There's a lot of pluses for technology, but one of the minuses, and it's been proven, is that students do not have the focus ability that they used to have because they're constantly, you know, looking at their phone, they're switching apps, their Snapchats are going and they're getting notifications, and it's hard for them to sit and focus. And unfortunately, on these long tests, whether you think they're a good or a bad thing, they have to do that. So I encourage you to do these with your students and to practice them. Practice them every single day. You don't need to just tell them once and then expect that they know about it. Practice it as part of your daily routine so that it becomes a natural process for them. And I'm only a week out before we take PARC, but everybody's on a different schedule. So again, these are things that can be helpful for you, not only in test time, but in all your testing environments or in the classrooms. Thank you for taking time to listen to the Mindful Teacher podcast. Please make sure to hit subscribe and like and share with your friends so that everybody has the opportunity to get tips and tricks on how to stay mindful and successful in the classroom. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Lifetime Literacy. Check out my website, www.lifetimeliteracystore.com. Find me on Teacher Pay Teacher, Lifetime Literacy Store. You'll also see the link in the credits. You can follow my blog on WordPress at lifetimeliteracy.blog, or you can follow me on Twitter at VintageGlam44, or find me on Facebook at Lifetime Literacy Store. I appreciate all your feedback and dedication. Until next time.